and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So remember, this is in the context in which Judas has already plotted to betray. And so at the supper, when Jesus institutes communion or the Lord's Supper, he reveals to them that one of them is going to betray him. And notice what happens. They begin to wonder who it is, but then it immediately turns into a debate about which one of them is the greatest among them. And I think this is a great insight into what happens when there's pressure, what happens when there's pressure about failure in the midst of the people of God. The instinct of the disciples is defensive. They think, well, it can't be me. And after all, I'm this and this and this better than that person. Now, if we think of it as, oh, look, they're like maybe literally debating on who's the greatest, that's hard to imagine. Few of us would sit around and argue about who is the greatest. But I do think that this reflects a great insight into human nature, that internally, we're constantly measuring and comparing. We're constantly saying, oh, well, I'm weak at this, but I mean, look at that person's problem. At least I don't have that. Our instinct is to focus on the failures and the weakness of others and to measure ourselves as superior to them. Now, we don't use that language internally, but that's the effect inside of us, in our hearts. And so it's easy to sort of mock or judge the disciples for doing this, but I think we need to be far more self-reflective and see how, in times of crisis, our instinct is perhaps to dwell on what we see as the failure of others, and our instinct is not to go, God, where might I go? How might I fail you? What is my weakness that contributes to hindering you, Lord, in doing your work? I think that is what Jesus has called us to. So it's a great question to ask when there's difficulty, crisis, conflict. Is it your first instinct to dwell before God on your own potential sin and failure? So Jesus uses this as an opportunity when he sees what their response is to teach on authority. And part of what he wants to say is that, guys, the Gentiles are the ones who misunderstand authority. They boss people around. They strut. They go around finding their identity and how much power they have. And they have this scale by which they measure themselves against others. And they also think of themselves as benefactors, philanthropists who are important because of how much they give to help people. And he wants to say, guys, that's the Gentiles. That's the Romans. That's not us. That's not the Jews. That's not my Father. That's not how we exercise or understand authority. Therefore, guys, you're missing the boat. He says, I am among you as one who serves. Now, remember, we don't have it explicitly laid out here in the Gospel of Luke, but in the Gospel of John, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And so we can see him very literally illustrating, look, guys, I have taken up the most menial position among you. Why is that? The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus is so gloriously free from the interior games of comparison that we engage in, because he knows he is secure in the Father's love and nothing can separate him from that. And so he can give himself in service to others. And that's what he challenges his disciples to do, to be among the people of God as one who serves. But we can only do that if we allow him to set us free from that internal game of comparison and status and identity that the human race is engaged in since the Garden of Eden. Now, I find this next statement of Jesus really extraordinary. In the midst of their petty squabbling over who's the best, Jesus commends them and says, guys, because you're with me, you're just sticking with me in the midst of what's going to happen to me, even though they're sticking with him is super weak and is super short-lived, he says, just because you've remained with me, you're going to eat with me in the kingdom of my Father. You're going to sit on thrones judging with me and sharing my rule and my judgment in the days to come. I find it somewhat reminiscent of the mice in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe that chew the ropes off of Aslan after the White Witch has executed him. They're given intelligence They were not speaking animals, but they become speaking animals simply because of their association with Jesus in his suffering. And I think that's something similar is probably going on here. But may we really be a people who learn this lesson and learn from Jesus how to be rooted in heart in the love of God. Again, what Paul prays, that we would be rooted and grounded in love so that we would have strength to comprehend the love of God, so that we could become great by imitating Jesus in his humility, in his service, in his being poured out for others. Amen.